It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How we doing on this fine Thursday? Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We will make our first NFL pick of the year a little bit later on because it's finally here. The NFL season has arrived. Kansas City and Baltimore tonight, a game you will hear right here on the Fan. But we are honored to be joined by a legend. He's still the legendary voice of the New York Yankees in my mind, the great John Sterling. John, Tiki, Evan, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and it's a pleasure to be on with you guys again.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us, John?
No, there's nothing I'd like to tell you. I will tell you.
Yes.
Now, we're going to make it official. Accuracy and Chris Olivero nicely asked me, would I return? I took a few days, and I said yes. You know, I miss the meeting with all the other broadcasters and writers and people behind the scenes. I kind of miss that. And I'll tell you what I really miss. I miss broadcasting with Susan, who was such a fabulous partner. And we were together so long. And, you know, this will give me a chance to, you know, a last hurrah and work with Susan again.
Don, what have you been doing for the last 3 months? Watching a lot of Yankees or... traveling around the world? Like, what have you actually been doing?
No, not travel. I've been traveling for 64 years on the air.
Yeah, but that was work. I mean, like, vacation travel.
Right. No, I've been watching a lot of games. I watch and listen to every Yankee game and watch and listen to every Mets game and then all the other games. And you guys just mentioned it. The football season begins tonight.
That's right.
And I can't wait. And so sports will always be my life. I love it. And I combined, music and movies and ball games. And the amount of ball games will increase now that football is beginning. And then baseball will go into the playoffs. And then basketball and hockey will start. I'm in good shape.
So when do we get to hear you again calling Yankee games? You just told us you're coming back. When are you coming back?
The final week, the Yankees are home, and they begin with a 3-game series against Baltimore.
Yes,
that could tell you about first place, and then they play 3 against Pittsburgh, I think, to wrap it up, and then the playoffs. So I'm going to come back at the beginning of the final week.
John, wow. Do you still feel sharp? That, as in calling games, being right on top of it, having the energy that you're going to need. Do you still feel it?
Well, I can only tell you this, broadcasting the game, that's the easiest thing I do. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting down, I'm comfortable, I have a great partner, I've been doing this forever, I've been a Yankee fan since I was 8 years old. I know it's amazing that I got that job and have held it for so long. So the game itself is not a problem. My problem is I was getting tired going to places.
Right.
and so this will only be, you know, a few weeks, and I guess that'll be that. Not I guess, that'll be that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So you will do final two series of the year, both at Yankee Stadium, Yankees-Orioles, Yankees against the Pirates, the postseason. Hopefully they win the division, so you don't have to do the dopey wild card series. You'll do the divisional series, and then that's it. So the last game of the Yankee season would also be the last game you broadcast in your illustrious career, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, it'll happen. It might happen in 3 games at the end of the year. Or could go on to the World Series, I hope.
You don't believe that. They're not getting knocked out in hopefully not the wild quarter divisional round. You think they're better than that, don't you?
But one thing you do know, though, I have nothing to do with it.
That's good.
You're not going to be playing.
They play. I just run my big fat mouth.
Right.
That's all.
That's right. You know, it's interesting, you know, now that you're coming back for the last two series and then the postseason, does it feel like you'll get a more proper goodbye to the Yankee fans?
I hope so. I took a few days before saying yes, and I kind of feel a little sorry for the guys who've been doing the games, and they, you know, all of them, there's so many of them, and they've done such a great job, but, you know, they asked, and I said yes, and now that I said yes, I'm getting to really look forward to it.
This is probably a thought that's on everyone's mind right now, and it involves your home run calls. Are you going to prepare for any potential home run so we can hear some classic John Sterling home run names? Will that come back along with you when you return for the Yankee Orioles series?
Well, I'm certainly going to do my best.
Okay.
So, now there are a couple I haven't used on players who've just gotten there. Austin right. Wells and Alex Verdugo. And so, we'll try to have fun, but it's not a big thing. We'll try to do what we normally do, Susan and I, and I hope it works. As you guys know, when you go on the air, you really don't know what's going to happen, but you hope it works. So that's what I hope too.
Have you had a chance to talk to Susan about this yet?
No, I think she has an idea, I'm going to call her, I think, today, because they're in Chicago with a day off.
Yes.
No, thank you. That's a good idea. I'll give Susan a call.
I think she needs a heads up.
She knows all. I'm sure she's aware. We're talking to the great John Sterling. If you're just tuning in, he will return for the final homestand of the Yankee regular season, calling games right here on WFAN and throughout the postseason. So what did you miss the most? Was it just being in front of the microphone? Was it the people? What have you missed the most over the last four months?
I miss, as I said, working the games with Susan. Now, we're going to be friends the rest of our lives, and we're going to continue to talk, certainly. But it's just that doing the game, you know, you like you guys doing the show, together you build a product, and you hope the product's going to be great. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does every now and then. We'll say to each other, hey, that was a pretty good broadcast today.
Yeah.
So I kind of miss that, and I also miss the interaction with all the other writers and broadcasters. I like that. I really do. So, and people behind the scenes. So anyway, I'll have a little bit of it before, as I say, it's my last hoorah.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you ever been superstitious? Like, do you think that you coming back gives the Yankees some kind of extra and whatever it may be? Now, personally, no. They won't feel it. Obviously the players won't.
Right.
Players that, you know, having been in the NFL for as long as I was, you're oblivious to everything outside of it, especially on game day. But I don't know, lore-wise, it kind of feels, it would be feel appropriate, if that makes sense.
Well, I can assure you that I don't think I'm going to bring anything to the Yankees other than, you know, my play-by-play voice and my interaction with Susan. Will I have anything to do with the outcome of the game? Of course not. and as an ex-player, you should know that.
I know, but I know that fans think that they do. And fans, they believe that they do. And I think sometimes there's something to that.
Well, you could probably better answer this. I think when the stadium or the arena is filled and they're so up, I can see it giving the home team a little bit of oomph. But as you know, that doesn't mean they're going to win.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier about Emmanuel and Justin, who've done a great job filling in Ricky Ricardo as well. But there is one guy I am curious about. I am curious if you had a chance to listen. Craig Carton did play-by-play for a couple of games. Did you get a chance to hear it, and what were your thoughts on his performance?
I did not hear it, and I can't knock it because I didn't hear it.
I mean, you can if you want.
You know, but many years ago, Carton said to me, well, I just want you to know, John, I may knock you, but I always say I want John to do the games. And so I said to him, which is true, I swear, you know, I've been working nights now for 60 consecutive years. It started in 1964 in Baltimore on a late night talk show. And as a result, you know, I'm very much a night person. Frankly, I'd be a night person anyway. I was when I was a kid. But anyway, now, you know, I eat late, I sleep late, et cetera. So I told Carton, I said to him, you know, I've never gotten up in the morning to listen to you. So actually, I don't care what you say. So
that's a good way to look at it.
I think that point was well made.
Yes, very well. We're talking to the great John Sterling, who will return to the Yankee radio booth for the final homestand of the year and then for the postseason. Do you think upon doing it, because when you left a few months ago, it felt so sudden to all of us. It felt almost stunning. Mm-hmm. And I don't know for you if it was kind of out of nowhere thing or you were thinking about it, but does this give you the chance over the final, hopefully multiple weeks on a long playoff run, to almost kind of look around and smell the roses and reminisce as you're getting to call these final games of your great career?
No, absolutely. I think that part of it is great that I have, as they say, this last hurrah. And I hope it go well. I don't have any worry because working with Susan is so doggone easy. So, you know, it's frankly, it's going to be my pleasure. And I'm glad I thought about it for a few days. And now I'm glad I said yes.
Well, I know, and you guys talked about it, like broadcasting isn't going to impact the team necessarily, but this team needs to get out of its funk. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been bad for I wouldn't say bad, John. They've been mediocre for a long period of time. I ask you, as someone who's watched it, are you concerned that this is just who they are, that maybe the first 2 months of the season was the mirage and this kind of mediocre stretch is just who the Yankees are? What's your assessment as someone who's been sitting there watching this for the last few months?
Well, they certainly need help in the bullpen. And they're getting some guys back. Doesn't mean they're going to pitch well now, but I'd say they need help in the bullpen. Now, their lineup has gotten longer. I like that.
Yep.
I like Austin Wells. I mean, that's a big thing for the Yanks to have a left-hand hitting catcher. And Wells has shown that I like his at-bats. And he could be, you know, a 270-20 homer kind of guy, which is everything the Yankees want. And they want a left-hand hitting catcher. And then adding Jazz Chisholm was a great addition. It just makes the lineup longer. And the fact that Stanton is hitting the way he should, you know, that helps too. They have a chance. Let's put it this way. When they line up and take the field against another team, they're as good as that team. Now, will they win? I'm sorry, that I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope so, but I don't know. But they don't have to take a back seat. But they do need bullpen help.
Yeah, they do. And Aaron Boone basically indicated that it's not going to be bullpen by committee, but there's going to be a little bit more, I guess, thought in how they go about deploying the bullpen, in particular Clay Holmes. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Because it changes when you don't have a definitive closer.
Well, don't you see the big problem is they don't have a closer to put in. Mm. Or they would take Holmes out. I mean, Booney is not going to knock anyone. So,
no.
But now the question is, do they put Heal back there? Do they put Clark Schmidt back there? They both pitched out of the bullpen. And Heal has the kind of stuff that you like in a closer. Frankly, I don't know what they're going to do. But
you'll call
they
it
have
when you
to make,
it.
I'd say they have to make dramatic decisions because the team hasn't been playing well.
No doubt.
Now, you know, one thing. The minute they win a couple of games, and people forget this part.
Yes.
And they're only a half game out of first place, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because of the way they played. But don't forget, last night, the White Sox beat the tar out of the Orioles. Baseball is a different game.
I think Oriole fans are saying the same thing. Like, I can't believe we're a half game up on the Yankees with the way they played for a few months. We're talking to John Sterling. He's coming back last homestand of the Yankee season in the booth and then for the postseason. You said when Olivero and Odorizzi told you about this, you thought about it for a few days. I'm curious, what was the back and forth in your brain on deciding, should I do it or should I not do it? Take us into the thought process on making that decision to eventually come back.
Well, as I mentioned, I feel a little sorry for the guys who've been filling in and doing such a good job. And then I had to ask myself, are you going to be able to do this every game? And, you know, I'll tell you the greatest decision, and you have to think about it for a minute. You know, in the regular season, you go away. Boy, they're long trips. I did that at the beginning of the year. Mm. Yeah, the four straight in Houston and I think two out of three in Arizona. But in the playoffs, the most you can go away for is 3 days. If you're, you know, playing one of those middle three games in a series in the other town. And, you know, 3 days is nothing. So even I can do that after all these years. So that was, I guess, a decision. I just took a couple of days to think about it.
Well, we're glad that you are coming back for the end of the regular season and ultimately the postseason. You're a legend, and we'll get to say a proper goodbye to you as opposed to at the beginning of the season.
There you go. Well, hopefully you'll get to make some amazing calls come October. John, we appreciate it, man. Congratulations. We will certainly be listening.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There he is. The legend is back. The rumors are true. John Sterling returns to the New York Yankee radio booth for the final homestand of the year. Three games against the Orioles, which should be monumental considering how close the American League East is. The final weekend series of the year against the Pirates, and then the postseason whenever it starts, whether it's the wild card series or the divisional series. So congratulations to John. It will certainly be great to listen to. We'll come back and get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, a stark difference that is very obvious between Aaron Boone and Carlos Mendoza. We get to it coming up live. A lot of discussion on the big announcement that John Sterling is returning. There's even some controversy around it. See, to me, there's no controversy. And again, I think Emmanuel and Justin and Ricky, too, have done great jobs filling in for John or filling in for the job, because no one has the job, while John Sterling, after John Sterling retired. But if the Yankees are going to be in the postseason, and they are, and they could win the World Series, they may. Mm-hmm. They may get knocked out in three games. Like, none of us know. To me, I would want to hear John Sterling's voice.
Right.
And look, I love Gary Cohen, and I love our radio station, but we did do something many years ago that I did think was dirty, and this ain't it. And I'll tell you exactly what it was. And that was when Gary Cohen left WFAN to go to SNY. Well, what happens when you go to TV is you don't get to call playoff games. It's just kind of part of the deal. Mm-hmm. Ask Michael Kay. I'm sure it bothers him as well, but he also knows it's a part of the gig. And the first year Gary was gone was 2006. And Gary Cohen actually came back and would do a multiple innings during that postseason run, taking innings away from, I think, what was Tom McCarthy at the time. A guy that you admire, I admire too.
Yeah.
And who's Gary...
Philly.
Yeah, he's the enemy now.
Right.
I don't even want to say good things
about
him.
He's not the enemy, because he is still my friend. He is a colleague at CBS, NFL on CBS.
Yes. But that to me, and I love Gary Cohen. I think Gary Cohen may be the pound-for-pound greatest radio play-by-play voice ever, and selfishly, I love that he was doing the games, mm-hmm. or a few innings, but that was a little weird. I mean, I admit, that was a little weird. Like, he left. He took another job. Now you're coming back and doing two innings. A guy retiring and doing it as quickly as he did, because he didn't want to travel anymore, and that same season coming back for the end, I don't think is doing anybody dirty. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because as a baseball fan, I want to hear his voice call October baseball.
No, you're right. And it was, I wonder if it was the beginning of the season. I mean, he alluded to it. He basically said it was because of how daunting those first two trips were. It was just kind of like, I can't travel this much anymore.
And the end of spring training.
And the end of
Florida
spring training.
Florida to Houston, Arizona.
Right. It's a grind. I mean, I go away for football games and I'm gone for 2-3 days. It feels like a long time. And he's been doing it for 60 years. At some point, it just becomes enough is enough and you're ready to just have your life back in a sense. But coming back for the postseason, I don't think it's dirty to Emmanuel.
Well, because I don't think either of those guys have been great. They're not the announcer
right,
yet.
They're not the permanent announcer.
Our company hasn't announced a permanent announcer. If they had, I would agree that's dirty. Kind of like, again, what Gary Cohen sort of did back in 2006. There was someone else who replaced him.
Yeah.
Someone else had the job. He was coming in for two innings. This is not that. So I completely disagree with that. And to me, I'll also be very honest. In my opinion, there were only two people that should have called Yankees radio playoff games, in my opinion.
Who's that?
One was John Sterling.
Ricky.
And you'll want to know who the other was.
Ricky?
Don't put me in an uncle. I love Ricky. It wasn't Ricky, and I love him.
I'm just saying, because he was suspended.
You want me to be honest with you?
Tell me.
It's not happening now. The other voice.
Craig Carton?
Michael Kay.
Oh, Michael Kay.
That would have been the other guy. That would have been it. Because he's the voice of the Yankees.
Yes.
And in a
and
post.
And he can't call the game.
And he can't call the games, which, look, maybe he's complained about it, but right. He also knew the deal when he left doing radio to go to the Yes Network that that's part of the deal.
Right.
But that was always my opinion. And that's not a knock on. Emmanuel's been awesome. Shackle's been great. And you know I love Ricky. It's not a knock on those guys. It's just, in my opinion, if the Yankees are going on a postseason run, those would be the only voices. Now, next year, I assume, we are going to announce a new radio voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Then it's that person's job. So whoever that is, yeah, there's no button in or we're going to change it here, we're going to change it there. But in this case, there was no permanent announcer doing New York Yankees radio. So for me, if John wasn't going to come back, and I'm not saying this ever would have happened, this is just one simple man's opinion, my opinion would have been I would have called up and tried to arrange Michael Kay doing it. That's my opinion. That was my secret idea I floated out a few months ago.
I think that would have been really cool, though.
That would have been.
I think some people guessed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, either way, it's not happening, and this is the preferable outcome. So I don't think it's dirty at all. Now, Howie Rose asks a very interesting question. Howie Rose wonders, after this announcement, does John Sterling have to give back the gifts?
No.
Absolutely
because
not.
He's not on retiring?
He's not on retiring, and if you get married and you get divorced in a month, you don't give the money back to the people that spend money on your wedding. It is what it is.
You should.
No, you should not. He should not give the gifts back because he's still retiring at the end of the year.
You actually probably should.
You should.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
In a month?
A month?
A month?
Yeah. Not, no. Not, we're not talking about 10 years. A month later, you get divorced, you deliver
people.
No,
there's
money
a
back.
Difference between a divorce and an annulment. Like
absolutely.
People get divorced. It's America. I think more people get divorced than not, and that's 100%. Very normal, whether it's a year or 2 years or 10 years or 50 years. Right. An annulment is a month where it's like, this doesn't count.
I was exaggerating. If you know what I mean. Six months, a year.
I know, but now you got us on a rabbit hole about the getting divorced in a month and you get the gifts back.
Absolutely.
Especially if you request an annulment. It didn't even happen. Sorry, psych. Just kidding. You got to give the gifts back.
I'm also going to make a prediction. I don't think John ever opened that 85-inch TV.
I think so.
He's got his TVs hung in his house. That's probably sitting behind a chair.
You know what I've learned from John Sterling?
Or he gave it away.
That's very possible. Maybe one of his kids. What I've learned from John Sterling, and I've learned this also from Mike Francesa, and I've learned this from Joe Beningo, three absolute legends. You know what all three did? They retired. But they cut it out of their life way too quickly. Because all three guys in their own ways eventually came back.
Bad job by me.
Because they all loved what they were doing. And I remember even saying this to Joe years ago when he retired. I said, I'd still do a once a week show. Like, it's still in your blood. So why cut it out? So if John was sick of traveling, and I don't know if the company would have gone for this, but what I would have done is said, I really got to cut down my schedule.
Didn't he do that to an extent?
To an extent.
But not that it was affecting how he felt about being on the road. I think that was the issue.
Well, I think the issue was John said, I'm done completely, the way Mike said, I'm done completely. Like, you literally just left. And I think sometimes when you do something for so long and you love it, like my dad is a CPA and he loves it, right? He is cutting down like very slowly. He didn't just one day say, I'm done, I'm not going to work again, because he always used to tell me he wouldn't know what to do with himself. So instead, he cuts it down slowly. And what I've learned, and hopefully I'm in this position because I could very well just get fired and not be able to make any decisions. But I hope someday that my retirement could be, I still want to do the recon. I still want to be on once a week. You know what I mean? Because I think that what John and Mike and Joe did is they cut it out immediately and then eventually came back and did something, even if it wasn't the exact same thing they used to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to an extent.
To an extent?
There's another layer to this
thing. Go ahead.
This has only come to me in the last 10 minutes.
Go ahead.
There's more pressure on Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman now to both win this division.
Oh, for John.
And do everything you can. If John is getting back off the couch to do one last ride here in the postseason, look, it is a crapshoot. You don't have to win a World Series. You got to do all you can here to win the division and make sure this isn't a quick wild card. Anything can happen.
Pressure's on.
I really believe that.
Pressure's on.
A man is getting off his couch to say goodbye one last time. You got to go win this division.
Well, let's see if it sparks the team now, because they just lost 2 out of 3 to the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, they were losing 2 out of 3 to another crappy team. They've basically been on this run of just losing series to bad teams. Yeah. Texas, St. Louis is average, Washington. They haven't been very good lately.
3 in a row. 3 series they've lost in a row.
Little spoiler alert. Verdugo's grounded into a double play whether John's coming back or not.
Yeah, probably. A couple of things about the actual New York Yankees. Number one, with Verdugo, we touched on his lack of hustle the other night. I have defended guys not hustling in the past. I remember Ken Griffey Jr. once, when he was with the Cincinnati Reds, hit a ground ball to second base, and he, walked to first base. And it became kind of like this big deal. Like, wow, can you believe Ken Griffey Jr.? And I remember Ken Griffey Jr. said after, I want to stay healthy. And unfortunately, this is what I have to do to stay healthy. And while some may not accept that, I have. There are certain players like Giancarlo Stanton.
Stanton is a perfect example.
Yes, who I will actively defend and say, hey, you know what? I need that guy on the field. So, yeah, it'd be great to hustle on every play because you never know in baseball. But in that case, I understand it. Here's the issue with Alex Verdugo. And maybe he is banged up. He's not good enough. Mm. He's not valuable enough. If you can't hustle and you're also not hitting and your defense is vastly overrated and you're one of the worst left fielders in Major League Baseball statistically, then you don't get the Giancarlo Ken Griffey Jr. benefit of, well, he's trying to keep himself healthy. He's a little banged up. Then I bench him.
Right.
Because you're not good enough to be in that situation.
But you got to bench him for somebody who is better.
Well,
and that person is available, just not up here yet.
Yes, it's very easy. Jason Dominguez. So when I heard Aaron Boone's defense, I heard it and said, I'd understand that with other people. I'd understand that with Aaron Judge if you came out and told me that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I know this is going to drive everyone nuts. I'd understand it with Gleyber Torres. Gleyber's performing. They need Gleyber Torres. I do not understand it with Alex Verdugo because, quite frankly, he ain't good enough. And you've got another option in the minor leagues who had a home run last night who can be more productive, who can be better. So that was my issue with what Aaron's defense was of Verdugo's non-hustling. He doesn't qualify for the defense that Aaron Boone gave.
He's dug himself too big a hole with his commentary. That's the problem I'm telling you. We saw this with Clay Holmes.
Boone has.
And I think it's unfortunate because Aaron Boone's trying to do right by his players every single press conference he has.
Well, I mean, John even said that. Yeah. Boone's never going to say anything bad about it.
He's never going to say anything. But now he paints himself in a corner when these guys don't have everything right in front of them quickly enough and don't come out of it, that when the move eventually comes, he has to delay the move in collaboration with Cashman. Otherwise, it looks like the fans and media are calling the shots.
What's wrong with being callous? Like, what's wrong with being a hard ass if you know that it's in the right place for winning? Because at the end of the day, when you're competing in a sport, the only thing that matters is winning. And if you have to be, I don't want to say unloyal, because I don't think it's unloyalty. I think it's accountable. It's creating a sense of accountability. And it's a word that we've heard used so often with this Yankee team going back couple of months when they first started this little mini slump thing that they got in and they got out of for a minute, but now they're back in. If there's not accountability, then winning is just not important. And so I don't understand why loyalty takes precedent over accountability and winning, because ultimately winning is what's going to determine whether or not you're accepted or you keep your job.
Well,
for
and
a
also
long haul.
Loyalty to guys that don't deserve loyalty.
Yes, he's been here for what? A cup of coffee?
Alex Verdugo is a guy who will live in the dustpan of Yankee history.
Mm-hmm.
He was acquired in a contract here. He's a former Red Sox. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Alex Verdugo is not the guy. He's not Brett Gardner.
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you that. Like, I know that drove people nuts, but I understood a loyalty to Brett Gardner more than I ever would Alex Verdugo. Even Clay Holmes. Like, those are not guys that deserve that kind of loyalty. What have they done? Who the hell are they?
And forget what have they done. Is Verdugo even going to be here next year?
No, both of those guys, Clay Holmes and Alex Verdugo, are both free agents at the end of the year. And that brings me to a comparison that I do find sort of fascinating. And I'm sorry to compare the Mets and the Yankees, but they play in the same town. And the managers, you know, are kind of managed to do the same job, right? Edwin Diaz in 2022 was maybe the greatest closer in a single season we've seen in a very long time.
And he got paid subsequent to that.
And he got paid. And then obviously had the fluke last year where he got hurt. And this season, he comes out and he gets off to a pretty good start. And then all of a sudden, really starts to struggle in the middle of May. Mm-hmm. Big part of the Met issues. To the point where, before he went on the injured list, he lost his closer's job. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Lost his closer's job.
I do.
In the middle of May, a closer who had already put together one of the great single seasons you'll ever see, who's gotten paid, lost his closer's job from a rookie manager where there was no other great alternative. It took the Yankees until after Labor Day to do the same with Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
Like, think about that comparison. And I apologize because yesterday I brought up Craig Kimbrell as an example. Screw Craig Kimbrell. That example's fine, but this one hits closer to home. Edwin Diaz lost his closer's job. He got it back.
Yeah.
He's been better, and yet it took until Labor Day for Clay Holmes to lose his? Explain that one to me.
I agree with your reason, with your point here, because I think it did take entirely too long for the Yankees to acknowledge that there was a problem with their closer. But I think with Edwin Diaz for Mindy, it was almost easier because he was coming off an injury, and you didn't know if he was affected because he hadn't pitched for a year. He didn't pitch an entire season. And so that injury was the excuse. Clay Holmes doesn't have an excuse.
You can always make an excuse.
Of course you can, but there wasn't one that was easy and swallowable to the consuming public. If you say Edwin Diaz is not going to be our closer, we got to get him right, so he's going to move back in the bullpen, then it feels like, oh, that makes sense. He didn't pitch for a year. He messed up his knee a year ago. Of course there's rust. Let him figure it out, and then he'll get back to where he needs to be. There's nothing like that for
Clay. You know what the difference is? And it's fair that there wasn't or isn't a growing injury that we know about the site, but here's the other difference. Clay Holmes has saved 70 games in his career. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's not freaking John Franco or Mariano Rivera or Edwin Diaz himself. All right? He's basically been a closer for 5.5 minutes. And in 2022, they did closer by committee during the postseason that year. Right?
Yeah.
He also is a free agent at the end of the season. There's no guarantee he's going to be on the team next year. In fact, right now, I would say it's likely he's not going to be on the team next year. Edwin Diaz is locked in forever. Like, taking a guy making that much money and saying you're not the closer is, you could argue, like career suicide. Like, how could you do that? They did it. Mm. And so I know there's going to be a lot of examples. And Carlos Mendoza, to his credit, he's been great this year. He's got a lot to prove. This is his first year. Buck Showalter was manager of the year in his first year.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame by any stretch of the imagination. There's a long way to go in his career. But we can cite specific things. And having the guts to tell Edwin Diaz, you're not the closer, in comparison to the coddling and the excuse making that occurs in the Bronx, you have to admit, everyone's got to admit, Met fan, Yankee fan, wow, that's some difference.
Yeah, it is a huge difference. And it's interesting because Mindy worked under Boone.
Maybe he saw what not to do.
Well, I'm not going to say that. It was just he saw how he wants to do it his own way. And I guess because he is a rookie skip right now, he's got to set a tone. It's no different than when Dave's became the new head coach of the Giants. He had to set a tone. It's about what you originally set it to be. And otherwise, guys are going to take advantage of you. So he's setting a tone. So kudos to him. I don't know if it has anything to do with learning under Boone or learning what not to do under Boone. I think it's just him setting his own tone for himself and what he expects from his team, period.
Yeah, I wish.
And that's a good thing, by the way.
Absolutely. Look, it's worked. I think that's why it's a good thing. Edwin Diaz has recovered. Like, his career or season now feels a lot different than the way it felt in the middle of May. And maybe you cite the injury, quote unquote, the suspension, and the humbling as a part of it.
We haven't talked at all, even through the early rough pit patch, that this was Mindy's fault. Have we ever said that?
That what was Mindy's fault?
That the struggles were Mindy's fault.
No, I think, like, look, I don't think
it ever got to, it never got to that.
It was never broad that it's on Mindy, but I mean, look, are there individual games where maybe I turn a microphone on Rico Bronya at 12 o'clock at night and rip his managing? Of course. Every manager will face that, but no, I don't think Mindy. I think part of that, though, is expectation. The Mets didn't come into this season with huge expectations, so even when they were struggling, I don't think people pointed at Mendoza and said, he's the reason why. But I wish I could do the comparison on everything. Like, the hustling comparison. You know, because I know it's easy right now, based on the Diaz-Holmes thing, to say, well, that's it. Mindy holds his guys accountable. Well, there really hasn't been, if we're being fair, a direct example of a Met player not hustling and then Mindy benching that guy. Like, unless I'm forgetting something from this past season. Like, that hasn't happened.
Well,
Boone's been challenged with
that. He hasn't had the example yet.
I don't remember one that's been very obvious.
No.
The Yankees have had a few. So Mindy hasn't been challenged with, hey, what are you going to do about the fact that, Mark Vientos didn't run hard to first base? Like, it really hasn't happened. And if it has happened, none of us have noticed.
Yeah. Well, it's a home run every couple days, so it's all good.
Right. But it is stark to think about that.
I think a lot of stuff that Mendy's done great this year is having the guts, we say, to do things, whether it be with the lineup, whether it be with Diaz. But I think if you compare it to Boone, Boone might not have the power to do those things.
See, I don't believe that. I think he does. And I think that managers do have that power to do it. And too many times we just say, it's the GM pulling the strings. And while I do think the front office has more influence than it did in years past, I think ultimately Aaron Boone can decide where he wants to hit guys in the lineup.
Then it's an indictment on Boone for allowing Holmes to blow 10 or 11 saves.
Well, that's the point.
But I'm trying to give the guy a little bit of an out here that Cashman is basically the overlord here.
I don't think
Boone stinks beyond belief.
You know where Cashman has the pull over Boone? Here's where I will give you that. Dominguez. Because that's the decision of the GM to call a player up. Like, that one I'll completely agree with you. Like, Aaron Boone may secretly say, my God, if Jason Dominguez was here, I'd be playing the guy every day. 100%. But I think when it comes to the closer and where you use relievers and how you use relievers or where you hit guys in the lineup, I think it's completely overblown that the manager's being told what to do.
But there was a clip we played about a month ago, and we had Tiki sort of dissected, and Tiki said you could tell Boone wanted to say something but held back.
What was it about?
It was something with the lineup, and it was something where it was like where Cashman might calling the shots.
He said something along the lines of, we make these decisions. And it wasn't like easily he could have said, it was my decision, I did this. He paused and then said, we put a lot of thought into making these decisions.
Okay, so what I have understood about that is that the we, because it is the parsing of a word, is that Mendy and Boone get a ton of information.
Yes.
A lot of it from the front office.
Yes.
They then decide what to do with said information.
Him and his staff.
But he's the boss.
But a lot of people took it as, because I was just bringing it to light.
Right.
It's just an interesting turn of phrase, how he said it. Instead of, I made the decision to do this, and I'm standing by it. It was, pause. We put a lot of thought into doing blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so some people wanted to take that as, well, he's being told what to do by Cashman.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what it is. I think it's more, there's just so much information that goes into every day's decision about what a lineup is going to be.
Yeah.
Which is why it was frustrating to me when we started talking about the Clay Holmes situation. Because if you do that for every other piece of your baseball business, why not do it for your closer?
Yeah.
Who clearly struggles getting guys out, who can hit low in the zone. And so you just ran it until he blew too many saves where you now have to go bullpen guy by committee.
Look, did you watch last night's Met game? Anybody out there? The Mets and Carlos Mendoza managed that like a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He played matchups. He made quick decisions. And they mostly worked, but it wasn't easy. Like, there wasn't dominance. There were big double plays and whatnot.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Sixth, seventh inning?
From the fifth inning on, okay? Now, Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning, very different. But from the fifth inning to the eighth inning, he managed it based on matchups, based on lanes, based on feel.
Yeah, and he got it exactly right.
He got it right. Now, part of that's luck, right? Guys have to execute. You can make all the moves.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, the double plays were, they were positioned exactly where they needed to be.
Well, that's what Aaron Boone needs to do. That's how you have to manage the bullpen. Every night is going to be a battle. Mm-hmm. You don't have
the easy answer. Especially at this point in the season.
Absolutely.
With 22 games left in the season, everyone matters.
Everyone matters.
So you can't afford to, we got it all in front of us. Yeah, it's in front of you, but it's coming real quick.
We will come back and take your calls. We've talked about a lot over the first 2 hours, a little baseball, a little football. We'll get to your calls on everything coming up at 4 o'clock, 888-808-1019. And after that at 4:30, I don't know. We've been playing creepy promos for like a month and a half. So apparently there's some kind of return coming up at 4:30 on a Thursday. I'm trying to figure it out. But we will get the answer a little bit later on. Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.